Before we start today's show, we want to let you guys know about our sponsor. Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambrice Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiroprac. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambricetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambricetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambrice Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. Again, Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, on the artist, formerly known as Twitter, at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller.
What's going on, my man?
Man, nothing too much, man. Where can the folks find you on Twitter? Kennedy Miller.
You can find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. And I said S as in sangria. I should have said S as in stressed out, because you know who was stressed out last night, Ken?
Who's that?
Haley Van Lith, because Caitlin Clark lit her ass up. Boy, you want to talk about some white on white crime? Lit her up like a Christmas tree, my guy.
Man, that was a really good game to watch. And like you said, it wasn't a good game for Haley Van Lee. Struggled offensively. Obviously, she struggled defensively. And I felt like Kim Mulkey didn't really do her a good. She didn't really do her a good service by the game plan. Like, I mean, Caitlin Clark is just coming off and she's just firing. And like, not until 4 minutes left and Caitlin Clark already got 37, 30, 35, 37, whatever. She decides to switch the matchup. Like, you got to show somebody on the screen. You got to trap. Somebody else got to beat you. Like, you got to know that this girl is clearly gunning for this game, because she just lost to y'all last year the national championship. And the consensus was LSU was a better team. She's a really good player, but LSU had the better team. Somebody else on Iowa's got to beat you. Somebody else got to make a name for themselves. And LSU just kind of was like, Caitlin Clark is going to have to beat us. And she did.
To me, it was so weird, because most times you see a team that has a dominant singular player that is like, I don't want to say like a force of nature, right? But you know, this person is their team, right? The idea should be, or at least might be, at a certain point, you let this person get their buckets, but we're going to hold everybody else in check, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the plan, because I remember in 2004, Chauncey Billups talked about it, that 04 finals when Detroit played the LA Lakers, the Shaq, Kobe, Karl Malone, Gary Payton Lakers. And Chauncey Billups said, we knew we couldn't stop Shaq. We just knew that, right? Shaq was going to get 30 points, 13 rebounds. That was going to be what it was. But Kobe, Devin George, Derek Fisher, Gary Payton, oh, they were in trouble. Shaq's going to get his, but the rest of them ain't going to get much of nothing. So maybe that was the plan. But the problem was Caitlin Clark got too much on him, though. Like, she hung 41 on him, and it didn't look hard. Like, that is the worst part about it. And even though I've watched Caitlin Clark play all season, it feels like every game she makes a play or makes a shot that makes me like fall out of my chair.
She's a phenomenal player, and by no means do I say that there was a formula that could have held her to 8 or 10 points. She was going to score, but like you said, it's a way to score, and like this ain't over an entire playoff series. We got one game, so If I see you got 20 and you done shot six threes already in the first quarter and made about half of them, oh, we got it. We got to try. We got to get the ball out your hands. Somebody else got to come beat us. Somebody else got to come beat us. Because they were like dropping on the screens. Like, they're like playing drop coverage. And she's just coming off, setting her feet really good and shooting it. And it's like, yeah, Haley Van Lee game cooked. But it didn't help that she didn't have a good offensive game either. She had a couple bad turnovers. Couldn't really make a shot. And I feel like the momentum changed once Angel Reese got hurt. Because Angel Reese was playing well, right? They had like a 5-point lead, which I think was one of their biggest leads. And then she twisted that ankle. When she went out the game, they ended up tying it, taking the lead. And, you know, it was still close. It was tied at halftime. But after that, I would never really look back.
It didn't feel like a game that LSU was ever in control of, if that makes sense. Like, Ken, you've coached, you've watched basketball long enough. We've all watched games where the game may be a 6-point game or an 8-point game, or at some points maybe a 1-2 possession game, but it always feels like there's one team that is firmly in the driver's seat. And for most of the ball game, that was Iowa. Why Kim Mulkey didn't adjust, I don't know. Like, somebody said, why didn't they put Flaugier on her? I'm like, look, they should have had Flaugier's brother run out the crowd again. Maybe they needed a 6th person on the court. Because they had nothing for her. And the worst part about it is we can't really name nobody else who plays for Iowa. I know the what's her name? Hannah Stalky. When I saw her for the first time, like at the beginning of the season, did not look the way I thought she would. Nothing about her looked Hannah or Stalky. I'll just say that. And I can say that because I got a name, Alex Goodwin. People don't think I would look like Alexander Goodwin would. Okay. It looked like they just got 4 girls out of the little sorority house out there playing with her. And it's like, who are these other people? Yep. You know what I'm saying? And she looks like she is going to drag them to a championship. That's what it looks like. Well, not if Don Staley has anything to say.
Yeah, about. I was about to say, like, for all this talk, you know, like, well, obviously, like, Angel Reese is out. But Kaitlyn Clark, Juju Watkins is out now. Paige at UConn. I don't think none of them girls be in South Carolina. I don't.
Man, you know what the craziest thing about South Carolina is, man? Over the past 3 years, they are 107-3 over their past 110 ball games. They've lost 3 games in 3 years.
Excellent.
They're going for an undefeated season this year. Like, I think broadly, right now, women's college basketball is at a place that I don't think it's ever been in our lifetime. You know what I mean? To where it is dominating the sports news cycle, right? Like, I can think back to when we were a little bit younger, when the WNBA was just getting started out, and Lobo, Don Staley was in the league, Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson, H-Town, man, shout out to the comments, man. Oh, man, I love the comments, right? And it felt like when we were kids, it's not like basketball just stopped once the NBA was over. In the summer, we knew, all right, I'm about to go see the comments and Tina Thompson and Cynthia Cooper, or if I'm up in San Antonio with my grandparents, I'm gonna go see the San Antonio Stars and Becky Hammond. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like, for me, like that kind of energy is there with women's college basketball. And for me, it's really for a couple of different reasons. Number one, they've got all of the big personalities. They've got all of the narrative. And honestly, we have in women's college basketball what we don't have in men's college basketball. I think the biggest reason why men's college basketball has a problem really with people taking an interest in it, except for like the conference tournaments on through the NCAA tournament, is that it lacks familiarity, right?
Yes.
Because of one and done.
Yep.
Every year, the best players are here for 3 or 4 months, then they're going to the league. And then we've got a new set. And then cycle continues, it continues, it continues. When was the last time, I'm going to ask you this, Ken, when was the last time we had like a great men's college basketball player stay 3 or 4 years?
Oof. Just a great college player like Tyler Hansbrough, JJ Redick, Steph. You think about Duke play, Grayson Allen, right? Grayson Allen.
He was a great ass. I don't know if he was a great player.
Yeah. But you bring up phenomenal points, right? I think about the last time I was this intrigued with women's college hoops was like Brittany Griner at Baylor. Because it was like that stretch where kind of like this, where you got these different teams, like UConn was still UConn. I think Maya Moore was getting ready to leave and Brittany Griner's at Baylor, right? Skylar Diggins is at Notre Dame, and every young man loves Skylar Diggins. Like, hey, man. Anyways, let's move on. Skylar Diggins is at Notre Dame, and then like A&M won a championship like one of those years too. Yeah. So it was like four teams, and like you said, it's narrative, right? That's what brings in the ratings. Like, it's not 5 million fans that just love the game of basketball so much that they're just going to sit and watch women's hoops or the NBA for that matter. But it's 5 million people that can care about narratives or storylines that can happen if they win or lose, or if a certain team wins or loses these games, right? Men's, and the same thing, the familiarity too. Like Caitlin Clark, we've seen her a couple of years now. Angel Reese, we've seen her 2 years now. Like, my mom is a basketball fan, but she was a really big college fan, right? Patrick Ewing was staying at Georgetown multiple years when the Rockets had five slamma jamma, and they started to become recognizable faces, right? And so with all these people going one and done or in the transfer portal, you don't get that same connection to teams that you used to. And to, so it's very hard for the common fan to fall in love with it or to stay attached to it.
And I'll say this, all of sports is really a television show. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And it's been really hard for college basketball for the last 17 years when your main characters switch every single season. Like, if we think about it on The Wire, we always had McNulty and Bunk and Daniels. We had some like mainstays, right? Mm-hmm. You had characters die, go to prison, different things like that. But you had like a core group. You know what I'm saying? And with college basketball and really college sports, what the transfer portal is taking is that familiarity and that narrative. You don't really get to see a team grow. You don't really get to see a rivalry grow year over year. Like, I know this isn't going to happen, but could you imagine if Caitlin Clark were to come back to school? I know she isn't.
Right.
Or if Angel Reese was to come and Flauge were to come back to school next year, and we had a chance for Iowa LSU 3. Can you like imagine what would be basically a year's worth of buildup to that?
It would break ratings.
Dude, like, that is the thing where I think women's basketball is right now. And I'm going to say this because I feel like we have to. Did it not feel real? I am glad, or I'm not sure about this. But last night, watching that Iowa LSU game, I just had a big feeling that this game is going to tear America apart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. And of course, I saw some pockets of Twitter where, like, it felt like when Colorado lost to Oregon at the beginning of the year, with folks like, yeah, that's how you play football. Or, yeah, kind of like that. What was that from Stone Cold Steve Austin and Longest Yard? That's how a white man runs the football.
I mean, I knew that was how it was going to be either way. But like you said, also, I think the thing that kind of helps now is those college players, especially on the women's side, with the NIL deals, because that gives them more incentive to stay. So now that you say that, now that I can think about it. So the big kid from Purdue, Edie, he's been there multiple years. Like, he could have gone in the draft last year, but he would have made more money because he probably would have gone undrafted second round. Drew Timmy, he came back, right? Because he was like, I'm going to make more money here than I would in the NBA. Hunter Dickinson, even though he left Michigan and went to Kansas. So I'm just, now that I'm actually thinking about players, because those players have an opportunity to stay and make more money. And that's where I think the NIL benefits college.
Because what it creates, what we haven't had in the last 10 to 15 years, at least really with college basketball, kind of like Stetson Bennett, they've been in school for 7 years and they about to open. They ain't going to the NBA. They probably not going to go play in Europe. They about to stay right here in town. And mm-hmm. they about to run the Kia dealership.
And yeah, I was about to say, open up a car dealership.
Like, like, you know, it is coming. Like, we haven't had one of those. And I'm struggling to think of Buddy's name, who was at Villanova. It felt like he was at Villanova for forever. But you know the type of guy I'm talking about,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know this dude ain't going to the league. Like, think about it, like college football. Think about somebody like Graham Harrell, right? Like Graham Harrell, if he wanted to, he could have went back to Lubbock and run a car dealership and ran the world.
What's, you know what I'm saying? The dude that was bald at Kansas? was it Perry Ellis?
Yes, Perry Ellis.
Somebody just made a tweet about Perry Ellis saying he's going to use his last year eligibility and get back in the tournament. DJ Fresh Prince.
To quickly switch gears to the men's tournament, other than, to me, the only two things that were remotely compelling about the men's tournament. One of them, the fact that Hubert Davis said his favorite artist was Lil Durk. And I'm like, who does Hubert think he lying to?
Hubert, we remember your introduction as the head coach.
All right, Dr. Umar.
Hey, was that not one of the wildest things you've ever heard in a press conference to become for an introduction of a head coach?
That, yes, that was, because he just volunteered that. And if
he volunteered that information.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, just go on YouTube and look up Hubert Davis UNC introductory press conference, and you'll know what we're talking about. Just volunteered that. My thing about Hubert Davis was this: nothing about Hubert Davis looks like he likes Lil Durk. Nothing about him looks like he likes that. I tell you what music I think Hubert Davis listens to. Hubert Davis the type to put on "I'll Make Love to You" by Boyz II Men when it's time to get it cracked.
I can see it.
That song, I will just point out to anybody, that song is horrible. Horrible. I can't think of anything that would kill the mood like that song. Because I saw that list of like Koja's favorite artist or whatever, and they asked John Shire, and he was like Drake. And people like John Shire that look like he likes Drake. I'm like, John Shire and Drake are like the same damn age. Yeah. He's like, what are y'all talking about? Ken, we're getting old. When like the kids are now talking about Drake is like old.
Dude, like my ninth grader's like, Coach, you look like you listen to Drake. And I'm like, is that an insult? Like, am I supposed to be ashamed if I do? And then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, Drake started making music when I was younger than them. Like, I've been listening to Drake since I was like 11.
Bro, that's when it gets scary. Like, I grew up on X, Y, and Z. In about, what, in about 10 years, when we have kids that are old enough to walk around and move or whatever and sit in the backseat of the car, our kids are going to be telling their friends when they get to college, oh, Drake, yeah, it's that old school my dad used to play in the car when I was a little kid.
Wow.
That's where we go be at with it. But other than Hubert Davis talking about he be jamming Lil Durk, the other most interesting thing was the big homie, and I do mean the big homie, DJ Burns.
That dude, watching him, because I watched a couple of times, but really watching him on Sunday against Duke, you know how the old heads always want the big kids to go down to the block. Say, young fella, get on that block. You got to get on that block. Go to work. I know that every man 55 years and older was pleased with how DJ Burns played. I know that. There was so much joy on those Easter Sunday in so many houses watching DJ Burns go to work, because it wasn't flashy. I can get it on the right block. I can get it on the left block. Either way, I'm finishing with my left hand. Zach Randolph is somewhere, hopefully not with the bags of weed that he got arrested with. But hopefully he's somewhere smiling down and saying, somebody emulated my game to perfection, because it was beautiful to watch. Like, I can't remember if he went like 13 for 19 or 14. I don't remember him missing that many shots, because I was like watching it live. I'm like, oh, he's finishing with his left. Bucket, bucket, bucket. Like, it just looked so easy.
Bro, when I was watching the game, it felt like the game was on rewind, because it kept like he just kept doing the same move over and over. And it was like it was textbook. Left block, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Mid post. Up under jump shot, right? Mid-range, man. The kid, look, this how you know he got an old man game. And let's just be honest, for college, he is old. He been in college. He is in the same high school class as Ja Morant and Zion Williamson.
Yes.
He has been in college for 6 years. I hope this brother has gotten his bachelor's degree. I hope he's gotten his master's degree. I hope at this point he's in the PhD program working on his comprehensive exams. Because, damn, he's been in school that long, okay?
Yep. And he really needs to think about being a left tackle, because the Cowboys need one. I mean, we done lost Tyron Smith, DJ. Just go on and suit up, man. I saw him. He was real light on them feet, man. You don't think he could be my blind side? You don't think he can protect Dak Prescott?
I don't know, man. We got to, but look, he about, what, he about 6'6", 3'10"?
He about 6'7", 6'8".
About
he's,
three.
He'd be better than Chaz Green.
Boy, I tell you what, was that 2017 when Chaz Green was a turnstile against the Atlanta Falcons?
Yes.
And he put, was it Adrian Claiborne?
Yes. What is it, 8 sacks, 6 sacks, 8 sacks?
Adrian Claiborne is going to put his kids through private school thanks to Chaz Green. Like, I'm pretty sure every year he sends Chaz Green like a gift basket. Like, because of you, I feed my family.
Right.
So I'm just going to ask you this, Ken, who you got winning the men's tournament?
I got UConn. Repeating, like them dudes, I want to say their last, what did I see? I can't remember how many tournament games, but it goes from this year and the past year when they won last year. All their games have been won by double digits. Like, they just been quietly just beating the brakes off people. Like, the score was tied at halftime. I can't remember who they were playing. The score was tied at halftime at 23-23. They go on a 30-0 run in the second half. Like, what are we talking about? Now, I think it is something to be said, right? Because I kind of felt like this would happen. Purdue might pull a Virginia from a couple of years ago, get bounced in the first round, utter embarrassment, right? And now they're in the Final Four. It's the first time they've been in the Final Four in like 40 years, right? So they might sneak up. But if I had to pick on my bracket on one of them, because I did like 12, I got UConn winning.
I want the homie DJ Burns to take it home.
I do. I want him to. If DJ Burns wins a national championship, NC State might put the biggest statue outside of their arena for that Dallas Cowboys future left tackle. He can say he don't want to play football as much as he want to. Let him start flashing that money and let him have a good pro day. Tyron Smith is gone. We need somebody agile that can move. He's already got some notoriety. He'd be great in Dallas. He gets so many endorsement deals. Just an idea.
I've got another idea, Kennedy Miller. Remember last year when we did our March Madness male R&B bracket for the 90s R&B? You remember that?
Yes, I do.
So this year, Ken, I thought we'd switch it up and we make this thing even bigger. So this year, Ken, in our Game Plan Podcast March Madness R&B Tournament, I've got 16 male R&B artists from the 2000s. I've got 16 female R&B artists for the 2000s. I've got a 32-artist bracket for you, Kennedy Miller.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Which side of the bracket you want to start on?
Ladies first. Ladies first.
All righty. So we're going to start here. This is an easy one. Mariah Carey versus Ciara.
It's an easy one.
Even though I will say the video for Goodies and the video for O and the video for Ride, they need to put those videos, they need to be playing those videos at the African American History Museum in DC.
Hey, now that I have no disagreement. Like, there is a reason why Russell keeps being a daddy. But in a strictly artist perspective, you know, that's why she's a 16 seed. She's got to go.
We got the three versus six matchup. Rihanna versus Destiny's Child.
Oh, Alex Goodwin. If this is played at a neutral site, the fans are packing this thing out. Like, this is like, these are two teams that they fans travel well. You know what I mean? Like Bears, Packers, 49ers, Cowboys. I feel like if I say one side, I'll get crucified by the other. I think Destiny's Child is going to win.
In the upset, you picking an upset in the first round.
It's the first CD I ever bought.
Hold on. Which one was this Destiny Fulfilled?
It was the first three tracks. Lose My Breath, Soldier, Cater to You. What are we talking about?
I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Cater to You is the jam, bro. And I ain't gonna lie, Michelle lit that bridge on fire. Rent was due.
Come on now. I like Rihanna a lot. I like her style of play. But if I had to choose.
You going Destiny's Child?
I have to.
All righty. Let's go 2-7. Mary J. and Ashanti. This is a blowout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Anything else would be foolish.
Now, this is a big one. This is a hard one.
Oh, let me check.
This is one I feel like.
Oh, don't you
for do the this. Folks at the church house. This is going to be one for them. We talking about Fantasia versus Jasmine Sullivan.
Alexander Goodwin, you sent me this 5 minutes before we started, and I thought I had an answer. I don't. These are two of my favorites because I got one screaming maniac that, if you remember last year, I talked about. I just love the passion in songs. I want you to feel what you're singing.
Yeah.
And as old church folks say, it's a simple song. If you don't want me, then don't talk to me. Go ahead and free yourself. You know, they said every young black man knows Fantasia songs from Mama playing it on the when you were growing up.
When you was cleaning up on Saturday morning, boy.
Come on, because when I see you, I hear more men sing that in the club than women. Oh my gosh. But I have to be objective. Jasmine Sullivan is one of the best I've ever heard. Fantasia can sing, but that Jasmine Sullivan, and I've seen a lot too. It don't change. I gotta go. It goes in overtime.
All right. Let's move to the other side of the women's bracket. This is an easy one. Okay. We got Beyonce as the one seed versus Alicia Keys.
Yeah. Stay behind that piano because you ain't going to the next round.
Look, bro, I'm going to tell you this about Alicia Keys. Somebody said ever since she stole that woman's husband, it's like somebody's got like a doll and keeps just like pressing her throat and just taking her powers. Like her powers are gone because you heard how she cracked that first note at the Super Bowl.
Yep, I sure did. You got to go with Beyonce. It ain't no question.
Yeah. All right. 3-6 matchup. We got Jill Scott and Jennifer Hudson.
There's no way I can eliminate both my screamers in the first round. Listen, Alex, I knew Jill Scott was wild, but it was a video in college and she was like making love to a mic that she could have drove up there and saved her marriage if she was doing that type of stuff.
Okay. And why did I get married?
if that's the type of stuff she was doing, okay. Trina might have been telling the truth. Oh man. I gotta go with Jennifer Hudson. I gotta go with
her. All right. Let's move quickly. Brandy versus Kelly Rowland.
Brandy.
Yeah, Brandy. Easy.
Yeah.
Monica versus Erykah Badu in the 4-5.
That's tough.
I'm going with Erykah on this.
I'm going with Erykah. I was just about to say it. I hate to look ahead to the next matchup, but I know she's going to get dog walked in the next one. Talking about Monica. So I'm going with Erykah.
All righty. So that takes us to the men's side of the bracket. We've got the number one seed, Chris Brown, versus the number 8 seed, Pretty Ricky. This is an easy one. Chris Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. See ya.
All right, next we got T-Pain versus John Legend.
T-Pain.
I agree. I think this is one of the situations, man, we really got to give T-Pain his flowers. T-Pain sold more than 20 million singles in 2007 alone, and that's just off the features. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to pull it up here in a few minutes a week when we come back to it. I can run them all down. But, yo, man, it's 2024, and a few years ago, people were sleeping on T-Pain, but at this point, I think folks really have started to give T-Pain his flowers, and I love to smell it because I, Alex Goodwin, am like the leader of the T-Pain fan club.
Yeah, I mean, you ain't going to get no T-Pain slander from me.
Now we got the 2-7 matchup. I think we've got an upset coming, Kennedy Miller. We got Neo versus Tank.
You think Tank going to upset Neo?
Man, look, this is a tough matchup for Neo, man. I mean, we're talking. Think about Tank. Think about what's the joint Maybe I Deserve?
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Please don't go. When we, right? He did the TGT album with Tyrese and Genuine.
So we just talking about like hits, right? Because last year on that mail one, you know, like I think Babyface was on there and we were factoring in the stuff that he wrote.
We were factoring in what he wrote. I think that's a fair point. I think that's a fair point. But Tank wrote hit records too. Tank wrote O for Omarion, Under for Pleasure P.
Oh, That used to be my jam.
See, I feel like I've swayed you just a touch here. So that's what I'm saying. This is a really like, oh, Tank did Naked for Marcus Houston too.
I have that download. It's in my playlist.
So that's why I'm saying this is like, it's a 2-7 matchup, but man, this one is a really close ball game. This is a real close ball game. I feel like right now Tank might be that. He might be from the Great Valley Conference or whatever the case happens to be. But,
they're a highly capable mid-major. Like,
yes, yes.
They've been beating up on St. Mary's and stuff. People took it for granted.
Yeah, yeah. So who you got on this one, man? I'm going to let you pick this one.
I'm going to go Neo, man. I know it. You did provide great arguments. It's closer than initially what I thought, because I disrespected Tank for a second. But, yeah, I'm going to go Neo. I think, like you said, in the first half, Tank came out and they punched him in the mouth, and we was like, wait a minute, these dudes can play. But then yeah. Neo pulled away.
All right, all right. We got Genuine versus the Dream in the 4-5 matchup.
Pick this one, Alex.
Oh, man. I think, man, it's tough because, man, Genuine had records, man, in those jeans.
Yes.
Differences. Stingy, Last Chance. Man, Genuine had jams, but then, you know, Dream had Shawty is a 10, which is one of those songs that is actually better as the clean version than the dirty version, right? Like, that's like that Snoop Dogg song. What is it called? Sensual Seduction. But I do not like hearing the uncut version of Sensual Seduction. I can't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So Dream got records. Shawty's a 10, rocking that thing. Oh, man, them falsetto. I love your girl. Which, again, if anybody out there ever like does what the Dream did or said, and I love your girl, just be prepared because some other man is going to the trunk on you. You about to get shot. Okay. But like that song, I Love Your Girl from the Dream, is going in like the Dirty Mac Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Okay. But man, oh man, I think I'm gonna go with Dream on this one, man, because we talking about hits they wrote too, man. Dream got Dream's pen is sick.
That's what I'm saying.
Single Ladies, Umbrella for Rihanna. He did some stuff with BTK. Yeah. Like, oh man, Dream. I think Dream wrote Suffocate and Put You to Bed by Jay Holiday too.
Oh, then you gotta go Dream.
All right, we're going to move to the bottom side of the bracket.
Okay.
We've got the number one seed on this side of the bracket, Usher Raymond, versus the number 8 seed, Bobby Valentino.
Bobby, why? Another mid-major that comes in with a surprise. He's playing against the UNLV running Rebels of the 90s.
Bobby Valentino ain't got a chance in hell.
This
is one of them, like, if the game were to start off, I told you last year when TSU got up on North Carolina in the NCAA tournament, the score was 8-4, and my dad was like, hey, somebody from TSU need to run into the back and call it a bomb threat right now. Game's over. Call the game right now. Like, that's what Bobby Valentino would have to do to win this game.
How did Bobby get this draw?
I think that's fair. That or play like Bobby Valentino would have to, his team would have to go out on the court with 6 guys and Usher's only got 5. Like, that's what it would be. But yo, for real though, before we get Bobby Valentino up out of here, Bobby Valentino has one of the like wildest. That song, Slow Down by Bobby Valentino, you talk about a street harassment anthem. You talk about a song that, this is another one of them songs, like, if you say this in the real world, you talk about something that'll end up getting you maced or get you sent to human resources. Just go read the lyrics to Slow Down by Bobby Valentino.
You ain't lying. Bobby Valentino, man. Just had to run up against Larry Johnson and Stacey Ogman and Greg Anthony.
Hey, yo, you got me thinking about doggone Mrs. Officer by Wayne with Bobby V on the hook.
Bobby got some hits. He got some songs in my phone, but it's not close.
with the 3-6 matchup, we got Justin Timberlake. You know, we had to have a little bit of diversity, equity, and inclusion here in the Gameplay Podcast March Madness Tournament. We got Justin Timberlake versus Mario.
Justin Timberlake. Mario's got one of the better R&B songs of all time, but Justin Timberlake got to take
it. You talk about a dude who can sing Paint Off the Walls, too. Ooh, Mario got vocals, man. Mario got some... I like his like voice, man. Like Mario got like, that's one of them dudes where the old folks be like, there are folks who are singers and there are folks that are singers. Mm-hmm. Mario gonna sang his ass on out of this tournament. Justin Timberlake that got him out the spot. All right. Now, bottom of the bracket, 4-5 matchup. We got Music Soul Child versus the number 5 seed, Omarion.
Oh, man. I just got to say, Music Soul Child. I can't think too much on it.
So, like, what are you thinking about with Omar? You think about Entourage? What's the one?
20. Destiny's Child was my first CD that I got. That 21 Omarion album wasn't too far down the line.
Boy.
Entourage. Icebox.
You remember that made-for-TV joint. I know you do.
That was number 4 on my CD. It was number 4 on the CD. I can never forget.
Woo!
It was a song, number 3, called Electric. Oh, my God.
Yep.
What? Yeah, that was a cold album. Oh man.
But Omarion's out in a tough 4-5 matchup.
God, he got a tough draw. Music Soul Child he got hit. He got hits.
And like Music Soul Child got them hit records, Yo Mama Like, You
Yes.
Like, Granny like the Music Soul Child records. What's the one? Just Friends, Buddy, Love. All of these can be played cookout, wedding, in the car. Oh, Music Soul Child to the second round. And the last matchup on the male side of the bracket in the first round, we got the 2-7 matchup. We got Trey Songz versus Jamie Foxx.
See you, Trey. I'm going Jamie. I got to.
I think we do. I think this is one of those where it's like Trey Songz got records, but like we talking about like pure talent. Like is Jamie Foxx winning here on talent alone and not as much as like deep, like musical resume, because I think Jamie got Unpredictable. He got the Unpredictable joint, DJ Play a Love Song, the Intuition album, Blame It.
That was like my 5th CD.
That was your fifth. I'm going all the way back to your childhood now, huh?
Number 1 was Just Like Me with T.I.
Yes, yes. Number 2 was I Don't Need It.
I don't need it. Just Weekend waiting. Lover was like number 11. Oh my gosh. Come on.
We about to be here for 2 hours because me and Ken going down memory lane.
Dude, I like Trey Songz. Like Trey Songz, now that I'm thinking about it, he got, you know, like, what was it? The I'm Ready? Was that the album?
Ready. With, yeah, he had Neighbors Know My Name.
Oh yeah, that was a cold album. Eighth grade me, that was, or seventh, eighth grade, I was jamming it. And
you know what I realized about that record? And really Trey ultimately, because I didn't realize it sounded so familiar to me, right? Like just the music and the way it sounded. Then I realized, you know who he tried to sound like?
Who?
One of them dudes that can't be in the tournament because of he got NCAA sanctions. They didn't took his banners down. I'm like, that's why this feels so familiar. Okay. But all that being said, we got an upset in the first round.
Yeah. It was a good game. Jamie just went on a run late. He just went on a run late, took the game over.
No doubt. Let's move to the second round of the women's on the women's side of the bracket. We got Beyonce and Jill Scott. I got Beyonce about 25.
That's not close.
We got Brandy versus Erykah Badu.
Brandy
about 20?
Yeah.
These are some matchups where like the score would make it look closer than it actually was. Yeah. It was a 20-point game. It really might as well have been 50.
Brandy would have beat Monica by 35.
Oh, yeah. You talk about something that had aunties up here arguing.
Yeah.
We got Mariah Carey versus Destiny's Child.
Oh, MC Square.
Shout out to Mariah Carey. Oh, man. What was the joint she had, man? That whole album that B. Cox and Jermaine Dupri did for her. We Belong Together. Don't Forget About Us. It's like that.
Mariah Carey's so cold, dog. She's so cold.
Effortless with it too, but Mariah Carey to the Elite Eight. Well, let's see who's gonna join her on the other side of the bracket. We got Mary J. and Jasmine Sullivan. I think I gotta go Mary J. here, man. I think we have
to. If we go on hits, we have to. we have no choice. But if I'm going voice, that's different.
I mean, if we was going voice, Mario might be in the final.
This is true. So we got to go Mary J.
Yeah, I think Mary J, man, she got one of the biggest records of all time. That it's not We Belong, because now the song is in my head, and I cannot remember the Be Without You.
Yes.
Be Without You, one of the greatest songs I've ever heard in my life. Mary J.
Mary J got to go, yeah. She got to advance.
Mary J to the Elite Eight. Let's go to the other side of the bracket. Let's see who's going to join them. We got Music Soul Child versus Jamie Foxx. I'm going Music Soul Child, man. I think I go music on this one.
If you go music, I won't be upset.
I think we're talking about somebody with a deeper catalog.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Jamie Foxx has really high highs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like full catalog with Jamie, it's not really there. But Jamie can. But like, we talk about just old, steady, consistent.
This is true.
Music Soul Child, except that time he tried to rap.
Yeah. I can't stand when they do that.
But Music Soul Child to the Elite Eight. Now, we got Usher versus Justin Timberlake. Again, you talk about two Americas. You talk about something that would really, in real life, tear America apart. Oh, boy.
I'm going with Usher.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? And I think Justin Timberlake, if we keep it real, Justified, Future Sex Love Sounds.
We got to give him his flowers. We got to give him his flowers for sure.
Usher by, I'll say 13 or 14.
Yeah, it's a double-digit win, but it's not a 20-point route.
Yeah, it probably felt like that Iowa LSU game the other night.
Yeah.
We got Neo versus The Dream. This is, again, two dudes who got their own hit records and wrote hit records for other
people. Yes.
And so this is like a really even matchup.
It is. This is one of the closest.
Who you got for this one, Ken? I'll let you pick this one.
I'm going to go Neo.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Neo. You know, I had a friend in college that was a big Neo fan, and she really like put me on I didn't realize how much that he had done, you know, for other people, how many songs he wrote, and you just went over them. But I was like, dang, I didn't realize Neo did all that. And so ever since then, I kind of hold him in a higher regard than I used to. So I'm gonna go with Neo.
All right. Now, I feel like we know who's going to win this matchup, but I feel like, again, this might be a game. It's still going to be a double-digit ball game, but it's going to be a great, entertaining game. Chris Brown versus T-Pain.
Ooh, I'm going Chris Brown, but God, that's a good game.
That is a great ball game. I feel like that's one of those where it was like when the Suns and the Clippers were like a first-round matchup last year.
Yes.
This should really be
that's like, a 4 matchup right there.
Yeah, this, man. This is like having like Stone Cold versus The Rock on a random Monday night
Raw
in August. This is this needs to bring in the money. But all that being said, Chris Brown gonna win. But again, I think we got to get a homie T-Pain his flower.
You have to.
In 2007, I'm just gonna run down 2007, 2008 for you. T-Pain had Out of My System with Bow Wow that went platinum. I'm a flirt platinum. I'm so hood gold. And I ain't gonna lie, he sang the hook from I'm So Hood. He sang it he sang that with his soul. He had me, my comfortable middle class ass.
Yes,
I felt that in my bones. Okay. Shawty with Plies, platinum. Kiss Kiss with Chris Brown, 4 times platinum. Good Life with Kanye, 3 times platinum. Low with Flo Rida, diamond, 10 million singles sold. The Boss with Rick Ross, platinum. Got Money with Lil Wayne, triple platinum. And that ain't even talking about his own records that during that time period. Buy You a Drink, out of there. Bartender, which has some of, you ask me, the most poetic and simplistic lines we've ever heard in the history of Black music. She gave us drinks to drink. We drunk them, got drunk. You talk about artistry.
Yeah. Shout out to T-Pain. Tough matchup, man. That's a tough matchup for T-Pain.
I hate to see him go down. I do, but I had to give Pain his flowers right there. All right. We are down to the Elite Eight, Ken. You want to go to the men's side of the bracket or the women's side of the bracket? Where you want to start?
Let's do the men's. We did the women's first.
All right. We got Chris Brown and Neo in the Elite Eight. I feel like this is like a game that we would think would be closer. I think Chris Brown and T-Pain probably would have been a closer matchup in the Elite Eight. I think Chris Brown by 20.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Chris Brown winning this.
Now we got Usher versus Music Soul Child.
Usher.
Usher by 17.
Comfortable.
Chris Brown and Usher to the Final Four. On the women's side, we got Beyonce and Brandy.
Beyonce.
By how I feel like this, it's not a tough one, but this is a really good matchup. But I feel like it just feel like Beyonce was like last year, like Luther, where Luke like just walked through everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Beyonce by 12.
Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige. Oh.
I got Mariah though. They both got hits. I just think like if we both got hits, then we got to go vocals. And okay. I think I just got better vocals. So I think that's like.
Hold on, you froze. Say that one more time.
I said I think they both have hits, but I got to go with Mariah's vocals. And so I think that's like a 7-point win, you know. And it's a 7-point win. Mariah made some free throws down the stretch. They fouled.
The game should have been over 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, but yeah, they fouled. They played the fouling game. Yeah.
Okay. So now we got in the Final Four, Chris Brown, Beyonce, Usher, and Mariah Carey. DJ Fresh Prince. So let's do the women's side of the bracket first, Kennedy Miller. All right. We got Beyonce versus Mariah Carey.
Don't ask me this. But now before we get into it, right? Looking at the Final Four, there is nobody else, right, that should have even had a chance. Like when you sent me this bracket, I looked and I at the top of the list, because are these all the number one seeds, right?
These are no, Mary J's a 2 seed. Yes. Right. These are all 4 1 seeds. I think we might need to say this just like full disclosure. There were a few teams that could not participate. That are a few folks that are in the NIT. You know what I'm saying?
They're under sanctions.
Yes, because the same team from last year's bracket that would have given everyone hell is the same, one of the same people in this bracket that can't participate either. And might I also say, given that we got a bracket of Chris Brown and
yeah,
we got a whole lot of banners that might come down. A
whole lot of recruiting violations. Oh, but okay. So Mariah Carey or Beyonce, it's gotta be Beyonce.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's gotta be after all this commotion, right? It's just gotta be Beyonce. It's just too many hits for too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, man, I ain't never seen someone have this much of a chokehold over women around the world like Beyonce, right? I know our mother's generation, Oprah was their thing.
Yeah.
But the way Beyonce has a chokehold on these women is beyond me. And might I just say this? I am ready for the concerts. I'm ready to see some of these outfits. I'll just say that.
And that's part of the reason why I had to pick her, because I don't want to get no death threats off of this podcast by not picking Beyonce.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, ain't none of us crazy. They will find our address.
Oh, my God. If you say something wrong about Beyonce, man, they come for your head, bro.
Beyonce did a championship game. So now we got, and I feel like this has been a battle that's been waging on social media for the last year. Like, who would win in the versus? Chris Brown versus Usher. So we got them in the Game Plan Podcast March Madness Tournament. Chris Brown and Usher. I'm not going to lie to you. If we're talking like the full resume in terms of like performances, in terms of longevity, in terms of like classic records, classic albums, like Usher got that 8701. You Remind Me, You Got It Bad. Confessions, Burn. Confessions Part 1, Part 2, Superstar. Ken, I thought you was going to hit the note right there.
No, I ain't going to hit the note. I ain't going to hit the note tonight.
We caught up. Come on, My Boo, Nice and Slow. Like, and I ain't gonna lie, the new Usher record, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But, you know, we like Chris Brown can compete, and I think it'll be a great ball game. I think this comes down to like the last possession or two.
Oh, yeah.
Usher pulls this one out.
Chris Brown had a costly turnover down the stretch.
Couldn't control himself. He got a bad technical foul.
He got a tech. I mean, I only say this so matter of factly because I feel like I've had this argument multiple times over the last year and a half. But Chris Brown has a lot of hits, and I I had forgotten he had so many hits, right? He does not have a single album that is even close to Confessions.
No.
Because those songs that you named, half of those songs are from one album. And we're not even getting in the rest of the catalog. Like, that's what it's made for. Could go platinum on somebody else's. And that's like the eighth or ninth best song on that Confessions album.
Throwback with Jada.
Oh. Throwback. You didn't even say Yeah, which is like, that's the white people song right there. Like, that's still getting played.
That didn't turn down for what?
Yeah, like that's still getting played to this day. You can make an album. I mean, you can make an argument that album, there's not been a better R&B album since. Since that album came out, you can make an argument. I'm not saying it's true, that there's not been a better album since Confessions, R&B wise.
I feel that, man. But I do have to say, Chris Brown, three of those first four Chris Brown albums, bang. Brown album, yo, the Chris Brown album, Run It, yo, excuse me, Mr. Some of the best Chris Brown might have been like Chris Brown when he had that lisp before he went to speech therapy. Oh boy, when he was, yo, I don't need name to excuse me, myth. Boy, that record, Exclusive with Kiss Kiss, Take You Down.
Yeah.
Shout out to Take You Down. Shout out.
I was in the back of the class. I was trying to do it. I was trying to impress somebody.
From you doing the moves from the little music video?
Yeah. I thought he was trolling.
Oh, man. All right. We got to wrap this up. We're having too much fun up in here. We got Usher versus Beyonce in the championship game. Uh-huh. And I feel like this is like Clash of the Titans, Bird, and Magic.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? This is like Warriors, whatever team LeBron is on, that he drags to the finals during that era. All that being said, Beyonce is the Warriors.
Yes, she is.
Big Steph Curry.
I'm glad we're on the same page. She has to always
be. And when I put this entire bracket up, when I set it up, I said Beyonce is going to win. It's just going to be by how much.
Right.
That's the only question we have, or how we break down the rest of these matchups.
It is what it is.
So Beyonce is the winner of the 2024 Game Plan Podcast March Madness Tournament. And just like we did last year with Jodeci, who was our runner-up, Usher, you can come to the White House too.
Yeah, that's one of the best runner-ups that we've ever had. Usher, I mean, honestly, like, there's only a handful of people that Beyonce is not winning that to. One of them is in recruiting violations and major recruiting violations. Michael Jackson, maybe Stevie Wonder, right?
I'd say Michael, Stevie, Prince.
Yeah, maybe Prince. But after that, it gets real funky. It gets real funky. So, I mean, I got to give the queen her props.
Shout out to Cowboy Carter. Shout out. I actually got to listen to that album too.
I need to as well.
And that is another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my guy, thank you for hanging out once again, man.
Nah, no problem, man. It was fun. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. So where can the folks find you on the artist formerly known as Twitter?
_KennedyMiller_
All right. You guys can find me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in T-Pain, S as in Scott, like Jill Scott, M as in Mariah Carey. Follow the Game Plan Podcast on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Again, on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We will see you guys next time. Take it light.